So do not be anxious about anything, is what it says, isn't it? Should we say it together? Do not be anxious about anything. So has anyone ever been anxious? Come on, some people are not telling the truth. And then Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. So I think one of the things that can really make us anxious is this verse. You know, we read it, do not be anxious about anything. And then we realize we're full of anxiety and we just get anxious and we feel condemned. But, you know, it says in Romans chapter 8, Paul said in verse 1, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation, is there? Even when we feel anxious. Yes. I mean, in a sense, I think anxiety, you could just put the first slide up, Anna, but I'm going to sort of probably depart a bit from my notes. It's a normal thing. And in fact, even the Apostle Paul expressed his anxiety, even earlier in Philippians. So how do we put those two things together, where he's saying that I'm going to send Epaphroditus to you so that I might be less anxious? I think there's a thin line between being overly anxious, in the sense that we take our eyes off the Lord and we just start spiraling down and feeling a deep concern for other people. And what actually is a genuine concern can tip into an unhealthy anxiety. And it's that that we need to guard against. But in these verses here, Paul, I think, gives some principles, not only how to guard against anxiety, but actually to have peace in our hearts. Have the peace of God that comes from the God of peace. So we've got the peace of God and the God of peace in these verses here. And we shouldn't also miss the fact that this comes straight after the two verses which are about the disagreement between Euodia and Syntyche. And by the way, Charlie, I've been working hard to get that right. But I would just say, if you go onto YouTube, it will tell you there are several different ways of pronouncing it. But these two women had a disagreement. Probably, as we know too well, when there are disagreements with us and another person, or between two other people, maybe in a community, in a church, what does it produce? Anxieties and worries. And so Paul goes straight into, do not be anxious about anything. And not only that, but give some solid, spiritual, grounded principles for dealing with anxiety. So what we've got here is really extremely relevant for each one of us. And the first one is rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's not just an instruction to rejoice or to be happy. And in fact, if someone were to come up to me and to say, be happy, and I'm feeling in the dumps, I wouldn't say it's the best kind of advice. And actually, it's very difficult to control our emotions. But he doesn't do that. He's not just saying, rejoice. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And there are reasons why we can rejoice in the Lord, despite our circumstances, despite what's going on around us. Number one, we can rejoice in the Lord because of his goodness. God is always good. Whatever might be making us anxious is going to pass. But God is eternal. And he does not change like the shifting shadows, as it says in James. So we can rejoice because of his goodness. We can rejoice because of his faithfulness. Even when things don't work out the way we would like them to work out, he's still faithful. In fact, he's got a better plan in view. So we can rejoice in the Lord because of his faithfulness. We can rejoice in the Lord because of his love. His love, which is enduring and lasts forever. But we could just go on about the different reasons for rejoicing in the Lord. Well, David said, my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. And you know, think of the prophet Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, who had every reason to be anxious and overly concerned and disappointed and upset. He saw, quite frankly, God's judgment imminent. And he was living amongst what had become a godless nation. But he said, though the fig does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. But you know something? We don't get it. So he says it again. I say again, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah.
Someone rejoicing.
Someone rejoicing. Secondly, gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. How do we react when we're anxious? Well, we probably react. We react in various unhelpful ways, like being irritable or frustrated or angry. And very often at the bottom of it is, in fact, anxiety. And gentleness is the spiritual antidote to reacting in that way. But not just a human gentleness, a gentleness that is informed by heavenly wisdom. James said, the wisdom that comes from heaven is peace-loving, considerate. Now that word considerate is the same word as we've got in Philippians for gentle, and full of mercy. So that's what gentleness means. It means, with God's help, seeking the best we can to be directed by God's wisdom in a spirit of gentleness and peace, even when we're under pressure. And we're living in a very anxious world, I think. it's important for leadership to stay calm. But as I was thinking about this, I think it's well, this is addressed to all Christians. I think it's important for all of us to stay calm. Whatever we hear on the news and so on, but to minister the peace of Christ to an anxious world. Thirdly, remember, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's just a prayer away. It's not difficult for me these days, now that we've got three little grandchildren, to imagine this. But, you know, one of them's yelling their head off, and then mum or dad comes, and they calm down because their parent is near. And he's our Heavenly Father. It says, the Lord is near. God's presence. And actually, I was thinking about God's presence, because someone did say to me recently, I don't really feel God's presence. I don't always feel God's presence, personally. There are times when I really do feel God's presence. And there are times when I don't, but I still know deep down by faith that he's only a prayer away and that he's near. But that leads on to the next point. Paul says in verses 6 to 7, pray about everything. This really is the key verse, I think. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Turning our worries into prayers, speaking to God honestly about our fears, often our last resort, even as Christians, but we should make it our first response. And with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because when we start thanking God for the good things that he's done in our lives, it reminds us that he is faithful and it strengthens our faith. And when our faith is strengthened, then we become more trusting in what he can do in the future. Promise of peace, also in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If there's ever a cure for anxiety, then it must be the peace of God. The peace of God that will guard your hearts and minds. Guard your hearts and minds like a shield, or if you like a helmet. Guarding our thoughts, protecting our emotions, and silencing the lies of the enemy, because it is a spiritual battle. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. And before we go on a guilt trip for feeling anxious, we should remember that some of the greatest men and women of faith in the Bible did also. This is David. My heart is in anguish within me, he said. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Experiencing an inner torment and just frankly wanting to get away from it all. But he didn't. He stayed there, he prayed. And this is what he concluded at the end of the psalm, which is also quoted by Peter in one of his letters, the first one, I think. Cast your cares on the Lord, because he cares for you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Fifthly, focus your mind. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think on those things. And I think it's true to say that our anxieties do stem from those things that we focus on, that is, the wrong things, the bad things, what other people have done or perceive to have done, all sorts of things that we think about and just press in and weigh us down. And therefore, this verse 8 is a great challenge to each one of us to lift our thoughts above those things. As Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, to think of those things above and not on earthly things. To meditate on what is excellent and praiseworthy, which includes, of course, the scripture itself. It includes the character of God. It includes thinking about the positive things in one another, because no one's perfect. And maybe Paul had Euodia and Syntyche in mind. And just to say this as well, we're living in a totally extraordinary world at the moment, as I'm sure you'll agree, with 24-hour media and news and social media, which means that we can hear what's happened halfway around the world within probably a few seconds of it happening. And a couple of things to think about that. One is that we can over-consume these things, and actually the effect can be to make us more and more anxious. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be aware and informed about the things that are happening, but I think there is a place where it can become too much, so we just need to be careful there as well. And the second thing that we need to be aware of, that much of this stuff quite easily falls short of Paul's first point here. Brothers, whatever is true, meditate on such things. Sometimes it's very difficult to tell what is true, but we need to let the Word of God be our filter. Finally, put it into practice. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, says Paul, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. We need to remember that the Apostle Paul, together with the other 12 apostles, had a unique ministry and a unique authority given by God. And I think that's why Paul can say things like this. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. If we don't, we'll be like the builder who built his house on the sand, which when the winds and the rains came, it collapsed. James said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. That's one reason why I like the Siam material very much, because it really, really encourages you to put into practice what you've just been learning. Anxiety can paralyze us, but obedience empowers us. When we step out in faith, we regain a sense of God's presence and strength in us. And this is accompanied with a beautiful promise. And the God of peace will be with you. When we know the God of peace, then we will experience the peace of God. True peace comes from above. If we have the last slide. True peace comes from above, not from perfect circumstances, which will never be perfect. It comes from the presence of God. So, let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's seek to be gentle in spirit rather than reacting out of anxiety. Let's remember that the Lord, who is our Heavenly Father, is near. Let's remember to pray about everything with thanksgiving. Let's remember to fix our thoughts on those things that are good and also listed in verse 8. And finally, let's remember to not just be hearers, but to be doers of the word, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the God of peace himself will be with you. Amen. Amen.